Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
Bob, you'll get a real sense of the hatred that makes football so great.
I've got the fever, gambling fever.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And howdy. Welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty. Right here on FM Talk 106.5. Now following the Paul Feinbaum Show, 6 p.m. That's when we get started if you're looking at the clock right now. And Corey, we are, I've been saying we're close to football season. Does preseason count? I'd say we're in football season.
Preseason definitely counts, Dalton. Okay. I mean, I got my fix last Thursday for the Hall of Fame game, so yes, it definitely counts.
And Auburn and Alabama having their first, and South Alabama, their first practices of the preseason on Friday. They all practiced over the course of the weekend, and we've got news to get to there over the course of this show, and a whole lot to talk about as football has officially started with the Hall of Fame game on Thursday nights. Just a reminder, if you ever miss any of Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. We do have the podcast, which is uploaded usually right after we air on Monday nights. Sometimes it gets up there on the next morning, but you can find that on fmtalk1065.com. Or if you subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or TuneIn Radio, you can get the Sports Night podcasts there. Also, for following us on social media, you could find me on Twitter. I am at Dalton Orwig, that's O-R-W-I-G. Corey, where can they find you?
At C-A LaBounty, C-A-L-A-B-O-U-N-T-Y on Twitter.
All right, and a great follow. You don't want to not follow Corey and then miss out on some great news. And tonight we have a great show planned coming up in the next segment. I'm really excited about this. We're talking with South Alabama head football coach Steve Campbell as he enters his second year as the head honcho there at the South Alabama campus, the last season that they'll be playing at Ladd Peebles Stadium. Of course, if everything sticks to plan as far as building that new Hancock Whitney Stadium on the campus of South Alabama. So we'll talk with Steve Campbell coming up next segment. You know, they open the season on August 31st at Nebraska, big game to start the year for South Alabama. And you know that they want to improve on last year's record, 3-9, not getting it done for anybody. We'll talk with Steve Campbell coming up in just a minute. But we start right now with some of the headlines from the past week, and Corey mentioned it a while ago, but the first official football game played in this 2019 football season, the Hall of Fame game, went down on Thursday night from Canton, Ohio. That field's still beautiful after all these years. I know they're investing a lot of money into the Hall of Fame up there, too. They're going to build that out. That's a place I've never been. That is a bucket list place,
though. It is
on
my bucket list as well.
I want to get up there to Canton. I know after record-breaking performances, like after my guy Chris Johnson ran for 2,000 yards, his cleats ended up there. You see some of these single-game performances, a lot of the stuff ends up there at Canton, and they elected just another outstanding class here for 2019 with Ed Reed, Kevin Mawai, and a lot of other great guys. And I don't know how, you know, these years coming up, I don't know how they're going to get all of these greats into the Hall of Fame. I know they've upped the number. Next year they're going to start letting 20 into one class. But you have so many greats over these last, you know, 5-10 years that it's going to be tougher and tougher to get them all into Canton.
I tell you, Dalton, looking at Ed Reed's statue,
yeah,
and with his dreads and his beard or his twist in his beard, it just looks so lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about finding a replica, a true replica, and catching somebody's aura. It definitely caught Ed Reed's aura, and he looked real sharp on that stage with that hat, that brim hat on. I really liked it. I thought he brought a lot of swag.
Some kind of like mirror thing around the brim of that hat. That was interesting. Ed Reed, of course, one of the greatest safeties of all time, finally earning his place in Canton. But they did play a game on Thursday night, and I know the score doesn't really matter that much, especially for the week zero preseason game, but the Denver Broncos went out and beat the Atlanta Falcons 14-10. You had the rookie from Denver, Juwan Winfrey, catching the game-winning touchdown pass from a fellow rookie, Brett Rypien, and Denver ended up scoring with a minute and a half left in the game to take the lead, and eventually the game, you didn't see any of the stars out there, no Julio, and Matt Ryan didn't start for Atlanta or play, and neither did Denver's Joe Flacco. But we did get a very good look at Broncos' second-round selection, the former Missouri quarterback Drew Locke. He ended up completing 7 of 11 passes for 34 yards and rushed once for 6 yards. Coming up this week, though, it gets real. You have 20 more NFL teams on Thursday night taking the field for their first preseason games of the season. As far as the local guys that we're keeping our eyes on, though, Falcons running back and former McGill Tulane Yellow Jacket and Southern Miss Golden Eagle Ito Smith. He got some good playing time on Thursday. Of course, last year in Ito's rookie season, I think that he took a lot of people by surprise in the NFL who might not have known who he was. He had a pretty good year, ended up playing in 14 games last season, rushed for 315 yards and 4 touchdowns on only 90 carries. End of the year didn't go as planned. He went on the IR with 2 games left in the year after undergoing knee surgery. But now we're seeing Ito, he's back. He's trying to lock up the number 2 running back spot right there behind Devontae Freeman. And on Thursday night, Smith carried the ball 3 times for 6 yards and caught his lone target for a 6-yard gain. But I know a lot of people down here, Corey, pulling for Ito Smith up there in Atlanta.
No question about it. Last year, Ito, when he suffered that injury, you kind of saw him midway through the season kind of get his stride as a rookie and find his home in Atlanta. And I think he'll get a lot more touches. He was so versatile out of Southern Miss, coming out of the backfield, catching the football. He adds that versatility to the Atlanta Falcons roster again this year. But I think he'll get more carries, and as long as he stays healthy, Ito Smith will work himself into a nice contract here probably next year.
I'd hope so. And then looking on the other side of the ball for Atlanta, they've got an undrafted free agent rookie who goes by the name Yurik Bethune. He's from right here in Mobile. Played his high school ball at Davidson before starring on the defensive line there at Alabama A&M. And he had a really good night Thursday night. 3 tackles and a sack. I'm hoping Yurik can keep his name on the stat sheet this month and hopefully earn an opportunity with the Falcons or some other pro team.
The thing is, Dalton, when you get those reps, you have to make every last one of them count. And that's something Yurik Bethune has done. He excelled at Alabama A&M. His older sister, Najla Bethune, used to play basketball at Davidson. His dad played football at Alabama, so comes from an athletic family. But when he was given the keys to that defense this past Thursday night, you knew who he was, especially with that sack that he made. And he's making the most of being undrafted, and hopefully he'll find a way on that roster as well. And it'll be wonderful to have Julio Jones, Ito Smith, and Yurik Bethune all on the Falcons roster coming from this area.
So cool, so cool. Cool. And if there's anything that NFL teams really value, that's somebody that can get in the backfield and bring down the quarterback. And Yurik Bethune getting that done in his first ever NFL preseason game. You mentioned the name, Corey, and that's one of the biggest questions for Atlanta right now is when will they sign Julio Jones to a contract extension? I know everybody's expecting him to be the highest paid receiver in NFL history. And that comes after Michael Thomas signed a contract with the New Orleans Saints late last week that makes him right now the highest paid receiver in NFL history. We know that Julio is not going to play in any preseason games, but unlike some of these other stars from around the league and like Le'Veon Bell last year, Julio right now not holding out from practice. Did you see that one-handed catch during the warm-ups of the Hall of Fame game?
Very impressive. Anytime you can catch a football with one hand, you know, the wide receivers do dynamic things, OBJ and Julio and others. It's just remarkable the type of skill set that they have.
And right now, Julio says he's trusting the team owner, Arthur Blank, in the front office to get the new deal done. Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff was talking on the NFL Network late last week. He said he believes that Julio should be the highest paid receiver in the NFL. He said that's how we're going to approach this, and that's how we're going to get it done. And that number he's chasing right now has changed since last week. I just mentioned Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas signed a $100 million contract that'll take him through 2024 and includes $61 million guaranteed. Thomas now the highest paid receiver in NFL history.
You can't argue with that, and that just is going to change in the thing, the way that they're paying wide receivers, quarterbacks. Ezekiel Elliott's contract still out there. Tom Brady just signed his big contract, but I'm still blown away that he's tied for 6th for the highest value, cash value of a single season contract.
Well, got a lot of news to get to. Tom Brady signs his contract extension. A little bit of a different story than the receivers we were just talking about. I think they might be playing the system there a little bit with Tom Brady. We'll talk about that. But coming up next, trying to get on South Alabama head coach Steve Campbell as he enters his second year leading the Jaguars. They got a big home, well, not a home opener, but a big season opener in Nebraska against the Cornhuskers. We'll talk with Steve Campbell coming up next. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names, you're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Norwig and Corey LeBounty. Give us a call, 251-343-0106. That phone line also works for the text line, so we can read what you have to say if you don't feel like getting on the air. Just talking about some new wide receiver contracts. Well, one new one and one that's probably upcoming, I'd say, here in the next week or two in Julio Jones. And right now working to get South Alabama head coach Steve Campbell on the air. But, hey, I understand. Busy week in football for not just us down here in South Alabama, but around the rest of the nation. And South Alabama, I think they're going pads tomorrow for the first time this year. They were out there for the first time Friday on the practice field. I think today they were in shells. So tomorrow they're going to be in pads for the first time. And lots to look forward to as that young team and those guys that Steve Campbell brought in as recruits and JUCO transfers, hopefully picking it up this year and having a little bit better of a year than they did last year. The schedule's certainly difficult, but we'll work on getting Steve Campbell on to talk about that. And if he doesn't come on, we'll talk South Alabama right here on Sports Night the way we do it anyway.
You're exactly right, Dalton. Tomorrow, 9:30 a.m., South Alabama's first practice in pads, and Coach just wants them to take care of the football and some things that he's looking for defensively as well. And, you know, A.J. Phillips, the young man from Chickasaw High School, has stood out in the first day of practice defensively, and Coach Campbell singled him out. And he's a young man who played on both sides of the football for the Chickasaw Chieftains. But when he decided to stay home in South Alabama, I think he's going to be a great and an immediate addition to that South Alabama defense.
Yeah, and, you know, a guy I love on defense, Jalen Thompson, basically the only returning starter from the secondary. Last year, remember, he had, I think he finished with three interceptions last year. It was either three or five, one of those odd numbers. But remember, Texas State, South Alabama was down early in the game, and a Jalen Thompson interception really flipped that game around, and the Jaguars went on to win that game. One of only three games that they won last year. This year, I'm looking for improvement with South Alabama, but they certainly have a very tough schedule. Opening the season, of course, at Nebraska. Scott Frost entering his second year as the Cornhuskers head coach. Now, the Cornhuskers, we talked about them quite a bit on our Big Ten preview the other night, but they started last year 0-6 with a true freshman at quarterback, Adrian Martinez, and a first-year head coach there in Nebraska after Scott Frost left Central Florida. But at the end of the year, they really turned things around. They almost improved by 100% their offense. It was just night and day from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. And you know there in Lincoln that those fans are going to be looking for a huge improvement come week one when they take on the South Alabama Jaguars. I'm not expecting South Alabama to win that game. And I don't think anyone is, maybe except for the players that are there in the South Alabama locker room. But I am hoping that Steve Campbell, Cephas Johnson, who it's looking like is probably going to be the starting quarterback. I know they say it's an open competition, and we did get to talk to Cephas earlier this year on Sports Night and also on Prep Sports Report. But I'm hoping South Alabama can, you know, keep it close there against Nebraska. I'm not thinking that anyone's asking them to go out and win the game, but at least putting on a good face there on national TV. After that, week two, it gets a little easier for the South Alabama Jaguars. They play Jackson State in the home opener, the final home opener at Ladd Peoples Stadium, if everything goes to plan with the new stadium there on campus. Then week three, another really tough game. This one at home, though. They played Memphis away last year. This year they get Memphis at home on September 14th. And then a couple back-to-back away games at UAB and at Louisiana Monroe. Then a home game against one of the top teams in the Sun Belt, Georgia Southern. So the schedule this year, really not doing South Alabama any favors, but I do think they're an improved team over last year.
I'm just excited, you know, for the home games and South Alabama having an opportunity just to get better with Coach Campbell's recruits, because the biggest transition coaching sometimes taking over and changing your entire staff and changing the philosophy offensively and defensively, you have to get the players that fit into your type of personnel that you want to have and fit the description of the type of offense and defense that you want to run. And that's something, you know, Coach had the term portal up. If you want to portal up, go right ahead. You know, if you want to be with the South Alabama program, stay there and be with it. But what an ultimate recruiting tool that Coach Campbell is able to use now, looking forward to the 2020 season, having your own campus, on-campus stadium, I think is just going to pay tremendous dividends for recruiting.
I think it is, too. And the more they recruit these guys from our area, I mean, there's no slouches here in South Alabama. You see them going off to play with these major SEC schools. And the more guys that Steve Campbell and crew are able to pick up from our area and then give them playing time and good playing time where they're out there actually making plays, that can only help when they're recruiting right here along the Gulf Coast.
Without question, that's one of the biggest things that anytime you look, whether it's the basketball roster, the track and field roster, anybody who is an alumnus of South Alabama, when they look on the rosters for whatever team that they follow, they want to see, do you have any local players? Because you want to come and support, you know, your aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, anytime you can bring the community in. And with a familiar name like such as Cephas Johnson, I think A.J. Phillips, those type of guys, when you start getting them on your roster and start seeing 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 local guys, it just continues to contribute to that overall Mobile, Alabama feel to where you're filling up the stands with fans and friends also.
And, you know, Joey Jones, he did everything he could. He built this program up from scratch, did a great job getting South Alabama into the Division I there, and did a great job. But you bring in Steve Campbell to take what Joey Jones did and put it over and above what they already were. Still no winning seasons yet for South Alabama as an FBS school. I think the continuity will really help this year going into year two with Steve Campbell, and also holding on to both coordinators, with Kenny Edenfield hitting his second year as the offensive coordinator and Greg Stewart his second year as defensive coordinator. But Steve Campbell, you know, he never really lost, coming from Central Arkansas, and before that, the Mississippi Gulf College, the community college there. He's always been a winner. I'm sure that last year going 3-9, and I mean the last five of the last six games were just atrocious when it comes down to it. They gave up way too many points, gave up a lot of points on the road, but so much of that has to do with going into a new system with Steve Campbell, having a lot of young guys on the team. This year they bring back a lot of guys, and they bring back the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and head coach. I think they show marked improvements this year, even if the record doesn't really bear that out.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, too, is just their production and penalties. You want to keep that yellow flag off of the field, and that's something that I know the coaching staff was very disappointed in, because they had some penalties that really cost them some yardage situations where it's third down and 13 yards, and here it is, you have a 15-yard targeting penalty and automatically give somebody a first down. So that's something that I know Coach has worked on with his staff and his players to improve upon. And it's a situation to where here in the next segment, Coach Campbell did say he would be calling in to
speak
great. With us.
We'll talk with head coach Steve Campbell coming up. And one thing I want to ask him about is Trey Minter, that running back who I think he made second team Sun Belt last year. And he has a lot of returning O-linemen in front of him also. So a lot of continuity on the O-line. I'm thinking the running game will improve this year. But we'll talk about all that with head coach Steve Campbell coming up on the other side of the break. I did want to bounce back, Corey, and talk about what we were discussing there in the first segment, and that's these new wide receiver contracts. With Michael Thomas getting that five-year extension, $100 million, he's going to be making $20 million per year. Now the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history, and on an annual basis also, making $20 million a year. That puts him now ahead of new Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Beckham stands second as far as receivers and annual salary, making $18 million a year. Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown right behind him at $16.7 million. Then you got Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans, fourth highest paid wide receiver in the league at $16.5 million. And then a three-pack of receivers who are kind of tied. I imagine they all signed contracts right around the same time. You got DeAndre Hopkins from Houston, Brandon Cooks from out there in L.A. with the Rams, and Adam Thielen from the Vikings. You know where Julio Jones currently sits with his contract right now?
I would say he's probably right at eighth or ninth.
He is sitting 13th an annual salary among wide receivers.
Julio's just sitting and laughing. He's coming to play football. He's letting everybody get their contracts. You talk quarterback getting paid. I mean, wide receivers getting paid. I want to talk quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, highest cash value for quarterbacks, $70 million this season. Ben Roethlisberger, $45 million. So look at the disparity there between Wilson and Roethlisberger there. Nick Foles comes in at $30.8 million. Kirk Cousins, $28 million. Kyler Murray, $24.1 million. And then that's when Brady comes in. Brady and Breeze both making a cool $23 million this 2019-2020 NFL season.
And let's talk about that new Tom Brady contract. It was announced, yesterday or Saturday, that he's reworked and signed a contract extension that'll take him through 2021. And while they did that, I think that two-year deal is for $70 million, but they went ahead and gave him a raise this year for all the great work that Tom Brady he's done up there in New England. Now he's making $23 million this year. But what New England's doing up there that's different than the rest of the league, and it's the same thing you see out of Nick Saban year after year, and that is identifying the rules that you're playing by and then finding a way to get an advantage over all of the other teams that you're going to compete against year in and year out. And what the New England Patriots do up there is they've got their guy, Tom Brady. He's been their starting quarterback since, I think, what, 02?
Yeah.
He's been on the team for, no, he was drafted in 02, so 2004, I think, was when he finally took the reins, right around there.
You look at Tom Brady graduating from Michigan in 96.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
So he graduated in 96, and you're having an opportunity now to go over 20-plus years in a National Football League at the quarterback position. That's very special, and that goes to speak on the durability. But Tom Brady's not all about the money because he wants to have a winning formula. He'll take that salary hit to put other players around him and pay other players and other free agents in order to win a championship. He'll give up that money to win that Super Bowl title.
That's exactly right. And, you know, maybe he's not giving up that money. Who knows what's going on under the table or off campus there in Foxborough, Massachusetts. If you want to win, you can't give all of your money to one position, and that includes quarterback. So those guys that go out there and pay Carson Wentz millions and millions of dollars, pay Russell Wilson, they're great quarterbacks, but you still got to pay the rest of the team. That's something that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick understand, and that's why they rework his contract. I mean, Adam Schefter said it this weekend. They'll adjust his new deal every year until Brady eventually retires. I mean, this is what he does. They work around the rules. They bring back great players with that salary that Tom Brady's given up, and then you see New England in the Super Bowl year after year.
Very smart. You look at Jarrett Stidham playing backup now, the former Auburn quarterback playing backup to Tom Brady, so learning there. And don't forget, Thursday or this week, we'll have all NFL teams playing preseason games.
That's right. Coming up next, head coach for the South Alabama Jaguars, Steve Campbell. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night right here in Mobile, Alabama. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you on this Monday night. Footballs are flying in the air. Pads are being strapped onto shoulders. Lots of hits. Man, we've made it to football season, and I am so excited to see what head coach Steve Campbell and those South Alabama Jaguars have in store for this season. And it's a pleasure to be joined tonight right here on Sports Night by head coach Steve Campbell. Coach, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Just got off the practice field, and guys had a good day today.
Is it humid enough for you out there? I know we've been getting those storms, and right after that, it is ridiculous. I know the players are already sweating.
It is, you know, and that's a good thing for us. You know, our first game's at 11 o'clock. So we'll be playing, in the heat of the day. So the more we can get out in the heat, humidity, and get acclimated to it, the better off we'll be. So, we like it hot right now. So that's a good thing for us.
Coach, you're entering your second year with these USA Jaguars. I know year one, you had a lot of work to do, and the end record probably didn't work itself out the way you wanted it to, but I'm sure you saw lots of improvement throughout the course of the year. What's different going into this second season, having the entire offseason to game plan? What's been different for you going into year two than year one?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is we know our guys now. We know what their skill sets are, and the guys know us, and they know what our expectations are. And, both J. just as far as little things on and off the field, and as far as scheme is concerned. You know, last year, you know, we were young on the offensive line. We had one returning starter on the offensive line. This year, we've got four of our five starters back. We've got a tailback back that rushed for 200 yards in his last game out. We've got a receiver back in Kwon Baker that led the league in touchdowns during the regular season. So we've got some guys back offensively. Now, we'll be breaking in a new quarterback, but he's a guy that's been with us for two fall camps now and two spring trainings under his belt. So that's new. Defensively, with Tyree Turner, Sean Brown, Jordan Beaton, Jeffrey Watley, you know, I like our guys up front. We've got some depth on the defensive line. We've got, you know, some secondary guys that have played a lot of football. Jalen Thompson is, you know, he's returning, you know, after playing a year. Last year he had, there was still some rust early in the year, and he got better as the year went on. And he's a big-time football player for us in the secondary. DJ Daniels, you know, has a year under his belt now. So, you know, I like our depth, and we've got a little more experience, you know, on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And, you know, and that's totally different than it was a year ago.
Coach, I think one of the biggest things that people overlook until it's needed is the kicking game. Talk to us about where South Alabama is with place kicking and punting and kickoffs.
Yeah. You know, that is a deal where, you know, last year, Gavin Patterson handled our extra point and field goals and did a great job of that. He graduated, and we'll Frankie O'Nate right now is in the lead for the extra point kicking duties. He had a really good spring and has kicked the ball really well through the first 4 days of practice. We've got Diego Guajardo from Daphne here competing with him, and he's looked really good. And we signed a young man out of Colorado, Noah Karwaki, that has a big leg. We've got Frankie O'Nate is also competing at the punting job along with David Webb, and we signed an Australian punter who's got a big-time leg, a young man named Jack Brooks that, you know, had played a lot of football, but he's played a lot of American football. He's played a lot of Australian rules football, and he's got a big-time leg. You know, a lot of your – I think it's something like six or seven of your – the last Ray Guy Award winners have been Australian punters. Mm. We took that route, and I've been very impressed with his leg strength and his consistency.
Coach, you mentioned it earlier. What's the situation right now at quarterback? Have you officially handed the keys off to one player in particular, or is that still an open competition?
No, I mean, Cephas Johnson is our guy going into it, and he earned that, had an outstanding spring, and really continued to develop over the summer and has really hit the ground running during fall camp. So, you know, Cephas is our number one guy, and Desmond Trotter is behind him, and Desmond will be a redshirt freshman. He joined us this time last year, and I guess he was probably third or fourth last year just being a freshman, and got some reps during fall camp, and then during the season, you know, we scrimmaged our freshmen up, you know, about once a week during the season to help those guys get more prepared for this year. And he had a good spring, and you know, I like the way that he's developing. We brought in another quarterback, young man that was rated the top dual threat quarterback in the country out of Hines Community College in Mississippi, and he has had a good spring and a good camp. So there's a, you know, I like that room. You know, we brought in a freshman in January that Tanner McGee has, you know, he's developing as well. So that's a good, strong room. It's a young room, but a lot of big-time arms and some good talent in the quarterback room right now. So I like the direction that position is heading.
Coach, another question for you is, when you look around South Alabama's campus, especially around your Jaguar athletic training facility, you start to see that stadium take place. And I know as recruits continue to come in throughout the summer, you have your 7-on-7 events there. And also, what kind of benefit does that put on your program? And when you look out your window every day and you see the production or the growth day by day, yep, what does that not only do for you, knowing that this time next year coming up, you'll be really, really close to kicking off in your own stadium?
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, we won't get to play in the stadium, of course, until 2020, but we're already seeing the effects of it. Right now we've got the top-ranked recruiting class in the in the Sun Belt Conference. And, you know, a lot of that's due to, you know, our guys, our coaches are getting out really working hard. They worked hard this spring on the recruiting trail, and we had great camps this summer and got a lot of those young men on campus, and they can see the growth and the commitment here that's been put forth by our administration and, you know, our board of trustees to take South Alabama football to the next level. And facility wise, we're, you know, with the new indoor practice facility that we're getting a lot of great usage out of right now, as you said, those thunderstorms can pop up, mm-hmm, and they do here on the coast at any point in time. So we're getting a lot of great work out of that indoor practice facility. And you can see the, you know, every day that you drive into work, there's progress being made on the stadium, and that's exciting to see. And the recruits, that's very impressive to them to see not only the facility but the commitment that's been made to the program.
And I can't wait, Coach, for that first kickoff come 2020. But, of course, there's an entire season between now and then, and I know you're focused on 2019. We're talking with head coach Steve Campbell, coach of the South Alabama Jaguars, right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Now, for those of us that don't put on the pads, that aren't coaches, we've got the football fever out here and soaking up every bit of information we can get right now, Coach, whether it's reading preseason magazines or looking at odds makers lines out of Vegas. And I've noticed for those that don't pay close attention to schools like South Alabama, it seems like there's a lot of disrespect coming out of Las Vegas right now. They have South Alabama with one of the lowest win totals in the entire nation. I'm not seeing that this year, but I'm not seeing it myself. But for you, do you use that kind of stuff as motivation, that disrespect, or do you just kind of try to keep your minds on practice and on that first game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't look at that stuff. Like you said, the guys that you love football, but you're not involved in it, then I guess that gives you a way to read about it and all that. But when you're, again, breaking down film and trying to develop your team, you don't have – you know, I don't look at that stuff. I know this. We've over the years, we've been blessed enough to have been a part of three national championships, and none of them were we ranked really high when we got started. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of going to work every day and trying to get a little bit better each and every day that you go out. We'll go from there. I don't pay attention to, you know, all that stuff is motivating if you do hear about it. I'm motivated now, but not any more motivated than I was before. Our motivation needs to be to do some things that hadn't been done around here before.
Coach, Fan Day is August 17, 2019, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Jaguar Training Center. So all those fans who have not had an opportunity to see the construction on campus or have an opportunity to see the indoor training facility will have a chance to meet not only you but your wonderful players also. But, Coach, tell everybody what is going to be the biggest difference between the 2018 Jaguar team and the 2019 team, and what have you learned the most within your first year here as Jaguar head coach?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is I think we will, football still it's a game about making plays, and in order to make plays, you got to be good on the line of scrimmage to give your skill guys a chance to make plays. I think we'll be better up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. We ought to have more team speed. The biggest thing I learned, I'm not going to say I learned it. It was reiterated. This is a tough league. You know, we beat everybody last year that wasn't bowl eligible. Mm-hmm. It's a tough schedule. We played – there wasn't a game where that, you're supposed to go blow somebody out and we didn't show up. Now we need to play better against all of them. But what we've got to do is raise our week in, week out level of play, and we beat everybody that wasn't bowl eligible this past year. Now let's go take care of some of those guys that were bowl eligible and put ourselves into that position to play for the conference championship.
Got one more question for you, Coach, before we let you go, and I guess this is really a two-part question, but here with practice just getting started on Friday, when does the focus, do you think, officially turn to that week one opponent, the Nebraska Cornhuskers? And it's a big task you got ahead of you with Adrian Martinez. He's going into his sophomore year here. You got a lot of experience last year as the starting quarterback. How do you plan to limit Adrian Martinez and Scott Frost's spread offense week one?
Yeah, you know, big challenge. They're a great football team and proud tradition, great program. You know, our focus will turn to them. You know, we've already done all of our summer scouting and had them all broke down and you know, all of that stuff. But we will start, you know, our preparation at practice will gear towards Nebraska whenever school starts, which I believe that leaves us about 9 days. In preparation, you don't want to start on them too early. You want to keep working your fundamentals and making sure that you're taking care of all the things you need to take care of during camp, so that you're getting better every day and working on the fundamentals. So we'll do that for the next 2 weeks, and then about 9 days out, we'll shift gears and put the focus on Nebraska.
All right. Coach Steve Campbell, the South Alabama Jaguars, thank you so much for joining us on Sports Night tonight. Good luck to you as this year gets rolling on, and we hope to talk to you again soon here on Sports Night.
All right. Thank you. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. That's head coach Steve Campbell with the South Alabama Jaguars. Corey Fan Day coming up. What day is that again?
August 17th, 3 to 5 p.m.
Get out there. See what you're going to see on the field for this 2019 season. I'm expecting bigger and bigger things as Steve Campbell continues to be the head coach for the South Alabama Jaguars. We come back, want to take a look ahead to more college football. We've previewed the Pac-12, Big 12, and Big 10. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of the ACC and, yeah, those Clemson Tigers. We'll get to them here. Coming up next on Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Sports Talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
Wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty in with you on this Monday night. Thank you to South Alabama head coach Steve Campbell there, taking a break from breaking down the film and preparing the practice schedule for tomorrow. I think they're going into pads for the first time this year tomorrow, and a scrimmage coming up very soon for the South Alabama Jaguars. And then they open the season August 31st in Lincoln, Nebraska against the Cornhuskers. That will be a game, I think, an 11 a.m. kickoff our time. So they'll get started early. And how great would that be, Corey, for the South Alabama Jaguars to go out there and, just like they did against Mississippi State a few years ago, shock the national college football world?
I mean, that really would. I mean, you're coming right after game day. It doesn't get any bigger, a bigger setting, a bigger scene. I said the black shirts last week are trying to redeem themselves and come back. But in order to be in that type of environment, I think that will set the tone and get South Alabama prepared no matter what the outcome is for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. A good season we're looking forward to. And we've broken down so far the last 3 weeks. I think we started with the Pac-12 and then made our way to the Big 12. Then we talked a little bit of Big 10 last week. That brings us in our 2019 college football preview series to the ACC and the team that, well, every Tuscaloosa fan wants revenge on this year. And not just the fans, but I'm sure Nick Saban and the team want to get their revenge on the Clemson Tigers, even if they don't talk about it. And they are, again, expected to be in the college football playoff. They're favored to make the playoff. You got to put money down to win $100. You got to put more than $100 down if you want Clemson to make the playoffs. They're -600 to win the ACC Atlantic and -335 to win the ACC outright. Odds makers set Clemson with an 11.5 game total, meaning they expect them to win 11 or 12 games this season. Of course, last year, Clemson Tigers, first team to ever go 15-0 and win the national championship. They ended up beating Alabama. Worst loss for Nick Saban as the head coach, 44-16. Now those Clemson Tigers have won two of the last three national championships. Corey, they're obviously one of the top, if not the top team in the nation. Eight starters returning on offense, including quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who is a big-time Heisman favorite right there alongside Tua Tagovailoa. They're also bringing back the running back, Travis Etienne. Lawrence, if you remember last year, threw for over 300 yards, five separate games, and Etienne topped 100 yards rushing eight times. Now, the defense, there's a lot of turnover there, but a lot of highly touted recruits and a lot of guys with experience. But the offense, returning eight starters, including the quarterback who is going to make this entire team tick, who's going to beat them in the regular season? I don't see anybody.
I don't see anybody beating Clemson. Like you said, Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator at Clemson, only has four starters returning on that defense. But Xavier Thomas will definitely be the man for the Clemson Tigers on that defense. And I look back to that Florida State game, Clemson and Florida State is always a compelling game for me. And you look last year, the biggest struggle that Clemson had in the ACC was against Syracuse. Mm. So with that being said, if I was to tell you that Syracuse was the toughest game that Clemson was going to play on their schedule, you probably wouldn't believe me. But Syracuse has some great things going on. Dino Babers is doing a wonderful job at Syracuse, trying to reinvigorate that program.
And they'll see Syracuse relatively early in the schedule. I mean, the first week is not going to be tough for the Clemson Tigers, but week two, they're at home against Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher's squad. That'll provide a good test. Then week three, they play at Syracuse, who you mentioned gave them a bit of a test last year. Now, when they played Syracuse last year, that was the week that Kelly Bryant announced he was leaving. And that made that the week that Trevor Lawrence officially took over as the starting quarterback. Remember, he got knocked out of that game early, running up the left sideline, got hit in the head, and that brought in the third-string quarterback who's now moved on to, I think he moved into the Big Ten, transferred to another team. But they get things started pretty early with Texas A&M week two and then week three at Syracuse. They don't see those Seminoles until October the 12th. And of course, like they do every year, they play South Carolina at the end of the year. But other than those four games, it would be one of the biggest upsets in college football if Clemson happens to lose this regular season.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, you look at Syracuse trying to battle against Clemson, but Clemson is expected to win the Atlantic Division and the Coastal Division. Virginia is expected to win that division as well by many writers. But I think this Miami Hurricanes team, let's see how much swagger they're going to have now in their second year under the program. That the Hurricanes used to have the tradition there. It's kind of lost its mystique. They don't have that dynamic quarterback to call the signals, and I think that's the biggest thing that's missing for them. But Virginia Tech, their defense, the Hokies are always tough. But Dalton, at the end of the day, I just don't see a team defeating Clemson.
In this last minute here, I want to talk about a team not expected to compete for the ACC title, but a team we're going to talk about a lot over the coming weeks, and that's those Duke Blue Devils, mm-hmm. who the Alabama Crimson Tide take on week one. I think that's the Chick-fil-A kickoff game in Atlanta. They're having trouble selling tickets to those because if you're an Alabama fan, why go to that game when you can save up money and go to a SEC championship or playoff game? But the Duke Blue Devils, man, I've been doing a little bit of research on them. Their defense should be decent. They return a lot of guys on defense. I mean decent for the ACC. I don't mean decent, you know, as far as SEC plays goes. But that offense, they lose Daniel Jones to the NFL. Quentin Harris takes over as quarterback. I think they lost their top four wide receivers. I don't think they get over 200 yards offense against Alabama week one.
It's not going to be easy for them. They also play Notre Dame on the schedule along with having to see Clemson. So nothing's easy for the Duke Blue Devils.
We'll see what kind of magic David Cutcliffe can work out. See what kind of magic happens over the next week with NFL preseason officially getting started and college teams in the midst of preseason practice. A whole lot of football to talk about over the coming weeks. Thank you for joining us on Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll do it again next week. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer.